Exodus chapter 12 again this evening as we look again at Christ our Passover. I want to bring a few more things out about these verses before I move along. Hope that doesn't bother you to kind of squeeze all the juice out of the verses. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. I want to read down to verse number 13 again. We're going to focus tonight on verses 7 and 8 for just a little while. Exodus 12, follow along as I read. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, the male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Father, thank you tonight for your word again this evening, and for our family that's out this evening, our church family. And God, tonight, as we look again at your scripture tonight, and some of this will be a review, some of it will be a little fresher, Lord, I pray that you would just take the word of God tonight. Now, you know the heart, the needs of each individual tonight. And Father, my heart is that your word would be an encouragement, Lord, to each one of us. Father, equip us and help us. Lord, we want to walk in your word, Father. We want it to be a blessing to our life. We want to lead us and guide us. Father, we want to please you. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, tonight for the filling of your spirit, Father, and your help. God, would you bless to this evening? We ask in your name and pray. Amen. I'd encourage tonight, if you can, to listen. And I know some of this stuff is you've heard before, but I think that if you listen tonight and treat it like a meal at home, that you're going to get fed and helped. And I believe that God's word meets all our needs. And God knows as he prepares the services, God knows what we need. It's amazing as, I begin to pray about God leading. God leads what our church needs. So tonight I really believe that whatever comes from the pulpit this evening, the Holy Spirit of God helping us will be what we need. We've been talking about the Passover now for about 3 or 4 weeks. This is, I think, the third message or so about the Lord's Passover. And I want to eventually, as God leads us, get into the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. But I think it's a good place to start here in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover marked a new beginning. We find in verse number 2, it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So the Passover was an important part. It became an important part, important feast, important holiday in the Jews' life. It was this Passover marked the month of Nisan. It was the beginning of their new ecclesiastical year, calendar year. And so it marked the new beginning. So also was the cross of Christ Jesus marked the beginning of the New Testament for us. And it was a mark of a new beginning. Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so We find that as a Passover was a new beginning for the Jews, and so then for the whole world, for all mankind, was the cross of Calvary a new beginning. Salvation marks a new beginning for the believer. Just as a Passover marked a new beginning for the saints of old, in the Old Testament, so then salvation marks the beginning for a new beginning for the believer. Salvation, of course, is the birth of the new man. And thank the Lord God does not try to remodel the old man, but that old man is to be crucified with Christ, and we're risen a new creature in Christ Jesus. Salvation is the birth of a new life. And again, that's a great blessing as children of Israel were to leave Egypt and go into the promised land. It marked the beginning of a new life. Salvation is the birth of a new heart as well. God takes and takes our old heart and he gives us a new heart, soft for him. And salvation, of course, we talked about a few weeks ago, is the birth of a new commandment. That we find that Christ said that he wants us to love one another. And so we find that salvation, the Passover, is the mark of a new beginning. And then we find, I talked a little bit last Wednesday night, that the Passover was protection from God's wrath and judgment. We read in our verse tonight, we read in verses number 12, that God was bringing judgment upon Egypt. Now it's amazing how God never works behind. He never does anything without a reason. And God brought Israel, Joseph and Jacob down into Egypt 4+ years prior to this for a reason. And there was a reason for that all that God did. And so God, when he works in our lives, he doesn't just have today or tomorrow in view. He has down the road in view generations down the road. And so remember tonight when you face life, that God's not just working in your life. He's working also in your future children, your grandchildren's life as well. He's setting some things up. He uses Egypt to spare Israel from the famine, but he's also not going to use Israel to judge Egypt for their sin. Egypt was a land full of idolatry and false gods. They became very wicked in their life, and so now God was going to judge Egypt for their sin. He was going to plague them as he had done now, but his judgment was toward It was toward man, it was toward beasts, it was toward the false gods that the Egyptians served. And so we find that the Passover was God's protection for these Old Testament believers. And they had to apply the blood to the doorposts of their homes, and when he saw the blood, that he would pass over them. And so we find that God's wrath and his judgment is not toward the believer, toward his children, but again, toward the unbeliever. God provides for you and I protection from his wrath and judgment to the cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, you find that the world tonight is under the wrath of God. God is angry with the wicked every day, and they're moving fastly toward God's judgment. But the cross of Calvary is God's protection from his wrath and his judgment. We find that in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says that Christ is our Passover. And when God sees Christ on our life and in our heart, he passes over the believer. Thank the Lord for that. Not about what you and I do. Many shall say in that last day, Lord, have we not done many things in your name and miracles and all kinds of things? But the Lord will say, depart me, for I never knew you. Why? Because I never got born again, never got saved. And Christ is, though they worked for the things of God, Christ was not in them and upon them. And so we find that Christ is our Passover. I want to bring out tonight a few more things, verses number 7 and 8, if you would please. As we move forward tonight, I want you to notice again with me that verse number 7 says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper post, the doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They were supposed to eat the lamb in the house and put the blood upon the doorpost. Now the blood, again, the blood was for their protection. We find verse number 13 that God said to Moses that when he sees the blood, he will pass over them. The blood was for their protection. The blood also was to distinguish them apart from Egypt. It made them different. Their houses were not like any other house there in Egypt. It made them distinctly different from those in Egypt. Hold your place in Exodus and come with me to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, the theme is a better testament, a better sacrifice. Jesus Christ is better than the Old Testament. And the only reason that's because all the Old Testament does is point to Christ Jesus. But Hebrews 13, I want you to notice with me a verse here, some words. Verse number 12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify," watch that word now, "sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Tonight as I read that verse, I'm reminded of that Passover. I'm reminded now as those Old Testament Jews, those believers, were commanded to take and sacrifice a lamb. And they had to go out and find the lamb, and of course, find a spotless lamb or a goat, and they had to put it aside for 4 days and make sure that it had no spot or blemish, wasn't sick or lame. Then they would take that lamb and they would slit its throat and drain the blood and catch that blood in the basin and apply that blood of that lamb with hyssop onto the doorposts of their houses. And that blood was to protect them. It was their salvation. And when Christ saw the blood of the lamb, when God saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over the lamb and spare them. But it also was to make them distinctly different than Egypt. It distinguished them as different. Well, I find in Hebrews 13 that Christ, our Passover, he went outside the gate. He went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for our protection. For our salvation. But he uses the word here in verse number 12 that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. See, when you get born again, the blood of Christ distinguishes us as different than anybody else. Now, it doesn't make us better as far as better people or holier than thou. But we're to be distinctly different than anybody else because his blood has sanctified me. It's my protection. It's my salvation. But it makes me distinctly different than anyone else. We have a lot of folks tonight, I believe, the church is full of people tonight all across this great country that want the blood upon the doorpost of their life. But they don't want to consume the land, nor do they want to be different than anybody else. They want the doorpost upon their life, but they want to continue to live like Egyptians and act like Egyptians. And when you get born again, you get changed. He saves you from... He doesn't save you from hell. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible where he saves you from hell. He saves you from your sins. He wants to sanctify unto him a people peculiar unto himself. So this salvation is more than just being protected from God's wrath. It makes us a part of God's family. We're his people. We're to be distinguished. Distinctly different. Tonight, can people in our community see that? Dubuque needs to see a people of God that are different. Different. Not better, but different than what the world has to offer. These false churches need to see. Let me tell you, we're living in a day and age where the church has become so worldly and carnal. It's just makes it become a big show, and the world needs to see that the church of God and the true church of God is different, and their life is different because of salvation. It ought to make a difference in our young folks. This idea that, I'm a young person, I can claim Christ as my Savior, but I can live my life as I choose and drink and run around and fornicate and just live as I please. That's not Scripture. That's not what Christ does for us. The church, by and large, for the most part, is no different than the world is today. We have the same family problems, the same divorce problems, the same teenage problems, and the blood of Christ makes us different. Not just saves us. But it makes us distinctly different this evening. And so we find that the blood must be applied. And tonight I want to encourage you that salvation, again, salvation is just not repeating a Pollywanna cracker prayer. It's just not, getting down on your knees and repeating a prayer for somebody else. And salvation is not even asking the Lord to come into your heart. Salvation is faith in Christ.
Amen.
And that faith ought to, I'll talk about it in a moment, that faith ought to prompt repentance in our life. We have too many easy believism, people in church that made a profession, but they never got born again. And I'm afraid tonight there are a lot of young folks that never stick to it because they never got saved. And I would never try tonight to get you to doubt your salvation, but if all you're hanging on to is a prayer you repeated at the altar somebody pronouncing you saved, that's pretty shaky ground. Because salvation is not saying a prayer. In fact, you're not going to find very many salvation prayers in the Bible. I mean that God did that for a reason. Because if He had the prayers of salvation in the Bible, we would make that prayer an idol. And so it's not the words that we say with our lips, but with the cry of our heart to God, forgive me as a sinner and be my Savior. I trust and have faith in you. Salvation is easy and it is instantaneous. But it's not just some easy, quick prayer that you just mumble and figure, I've got my fire insurance now, but I don't have to do anything. There's no change in my life and there's no repentance. There's no faith toward Jesus Christ. That's not salvation. Now, number two is this tonight. We see the blood must be applied. Number two, the lamb had to be consumed. I mentioned this last Wednesday night. I don't want to bore you with the detail or try to repeat myself. Most likely, if I did repeat myself, some of you folks don't remember anyway, because I don't always remember what I preached the week before. And so for some, this is always new every Sunday, every Wednesday night anyway. And especially if you doze a little bit, you know, it's like when you doze through maybe a TV show or a movie, you can just watch that thing several times and not get the whole thing, you know. And so we're going to look at tonight that the lamb had to be consumed as well. Watch what the Bible says here in verse number 8 of Exodus chapter 12. It says, and they shall eat the flesh. Now watch this next phrase. In that night. The lamb had to be consumed at an appointed time. At an appointed time. They couldn't just eat it when they wanted to. It says he had to eat that lamb that night. Why? Because they were going to go out the next morning. But the lamb had an appointed time that it must be sacrificed. That it had to be consumed. They had to eat the flesh at that night. So that reminds me, as I read that, it reminded me that Jesus Christ had an appointed time for Calvary. Look at the book of Galatians chapter 4 and the book of Matthew chapter number 26. Galatians chapter 4. This is a blessing tonight. Hang with me now and follow along. Galatians chapter 4. Matthew chapter 26. Galatians 4, I want you to see here verse number 3 through 5. Notice what the Lord says here. It says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Was not Israel under bondage to Egypt? It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We find that the Passover was not by just some happenstance. No, God had an appointed time for the Passover. He had appointed a time when the lambs were taken. He had appointed a time when the lambs should be sacrificed. He had appointed a time when the lambs should be eaten. We find that God Almighty had appointed a time for Christ to come. When the fullness of time was come, when God said, it's now time. Look with me at the book of Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and look at verse number 1. Says that it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and that Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Jump down to verse number 18. And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. And I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Just as the lamb had a certain time to be crucified, a sacrifice and eaten, Christ had a time appointed time to die upon Calvary. And again, tonight, what I want you to see tonight through the scriptures, so we're preaching, that's no really what's, the, because God's a God of order. God has a plan. God is not in heaven reacting to the world. He's not reacting to our choices. He's not frustrated. He's not upset. He's not confounded. But God, and through all the history of time now, God has always acted out His plan. And He's never behind time. He's never ahead of time. He's never reacting to what man does. Listen, when Adam and Eve in the garden sinned, God had a plan for that already in place. In fact, we know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain from the very foundation of the world. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't say, uh-oh, now what are we going to do about this problem? No, God had it all worked out prior to Adam and Eve's sin. And so as the land had the point of time for its consumption, and so Jesus Christ, when the fullness of time was come, when God's plan was ready, when man was in God in place, then Christ came and He said, listen, my time. In fact, you find through His life what He would say to others around Him, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. And I think there's some truth tonight that when Christ was in the garden praying for this cup to pass from Him, I don't understand though He was praying for a cup of Calvary to pass from Him, but He might not die that evening before the cross of Calvary. There are some things there that I believe that He was saying, Lord, you know, He wanted to fulfill His time. And so He came and He fulfilled His time at the right time. That tonight, I want to move that a little bit farther down the road a little bit. I find in the scripture that now is the appointed time of salvation. Amen. You see, we find in the book of 2 Corinthians 6, 2. It says, for He saith, I heard thee in the time of accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are living as God's people. We are living in the day of salvation. We're living in that day. There is coming a day of judgment, as Brother Victor has taught now for several weeks and months in Sunday school class. God is going to judge the world. God is going to judge the sinner. But today is the day of grace. Today is the day of salvation. And by the way, the day of salvation is offered to all men. Amen. To all men. To every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the day of salvation is offered to whosoever will. The day of salvation is for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl in Dubuque. And again, I know tonight I'm going on the same road again as I have been for weeks, but we have a burden, we have a responsibility to our city. No, we have a responsibility according to the gospel to the whole world. Boy, I'm not going to win the whole world to Christ if I'm not going to try to win my city to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. It doesn't make any sense for us to sit in our church and our pews with us four no more. The day of salvation is for every man. And Christ, the church is to preach that today is a day of salvation. And I believe that the Passover now was not just a one-time event for the children of Israel, but it was to be observed every year so they would not forget their salvation. And so it's easy if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we will forget what the day is. We'll forget what the day is. The day is the day of salvation. Now is the point of time for men to be saved. There's coming a time when God is going to judge. There's going to come a time when God gives us rest and we'll be in heaven and we'll walk through some gold with Him and we'll be working there in heaven and we'll have that great rest, but not today. One day we'll turn our cross in for a crown, but not today. Today is the day that we bear our cross and follow Him daily. Today is the day of salvation. I also want to point out tonight that as we see the appointed time for the Lamb in the Old Testament, today is the day of salvation, but there's also the appointed time for sanctification. Look at me in Romans 13. Christ had the appointed time for Calvary. In fact, I probably should be a little more studied up than this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the very same time the lamb was to be eaten, the Passover, that's the very same time that Christ was crucified upon Calvary. Christ had appointed time for salvation. Today is a day of salvation. And then now is appointed time for sanctification as well. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, please. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. That's a good Sunday morning verse right there. It says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You believe that tonight? Yeah, our salvation, that final adoption to wit, the Bible says, it's near. We ain't got time to sleep and play. The church today is caught up with this idea of entertain me and play. And we just want to, have programs and plays and all kinds of nonsense. The gospel is being stifled. But it says in verse number 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul's saying here in the scripture, you ain't got time to live in the flesh. Church ain't got time to sit back and play and sit back idle. See, listen, the day is far spent. The night is at hand. Christ is coming. And now is the time to wake out of sleep. Now is the time to do the work of Christ. And now is the time to be sanctified. Now is the day that Christ wants to not only bring salvation, but to pull you apart, to pull you out. Jesus Christ, God Almighty's plan for Israel was not to leave them in Egypt. He didn't change Egypt. He didn't change their circumstances. He didn't just say, Israel, you're in Egypt. I'm just going to give you a new president. I'm going to give you some better education. I'm going to give you some more money and programs. No, he's going to save them and bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. And Christ, when he saves us, doesn't want us to reform us socially. He wants to bring us out of the world. To bring us out of our old creature, bring us out of sin. Listen, I'm all for that men and women need sometimes a helping hand. And I'm all for tonight that if we can help people, whether it's with clothes or food or even sometimes paying bills, hey, we'll give what we can give. We've done that in the past. But what Dubuque needs and what Iowa needs, what the world needs, is not just simply to reform Egypt. They need to be brought out of Egypt. You can try to reform somebody in Egypt, but it's all about the same problem. Well, why isn't America ever going to see a change when it comes to changing people's lives and gun control and all that nonsense? And for one thing, they're going down the wrong road to try to give people freedom. For one thing, you can't put people more in bondage of sin and set them free. But you can't socially reform a country without Christ first in their heart and their life. So God doesn't want to bring Israel, change Egypt. He wants to bring Israel out of Egypt. And when you and I got saved and born again, he doesn't want to reform us in the world. He wants to bring us out of the world. He says it's now it's time. Today is the time for you to leave behind rioting and drunkenness and strife and envy. Leave it all behind because that will one day ruin you. Listen, he says today is the day to be sanctified, to put on the armor of light. The armor, we're to put on the whole armor of God, and it's called the armor of light. See, the armor of light is our protection. Because rioting and drunkenness and strife and envy will be the ruin of any believer. You can't live in that lifestyle. By the way, you say, well, preacher, well, how can the world live that way? And it seems like they're doing fine. For one, they're not doing fine. That's what TV and the media and Hollywood want you to believe. They're doing fine. They're not doing fine. It's a mess. If you don't believe that, just look at the puke from the whole Depp thing, jury court thing with Johnny Depp. What a mess. What a bunch of drama and puke. And our whole today, our whole world is caught up in that nonsense, and we idolize guys like that, and we hear about all the junk that they think they're very happy. Not at all. But by the way, you know why God would chasten his children? Because you are his children. To whom much is given, much is required. God ain't going to let you run your life down the tubes without chasing you. So the armor of light is for our protection because of what sin does to people. The armor of light is for our distinction. It makes us different. You ever see people that, you know, we're kind of used to it now, but I remember, you know, seeing people when they first started dyeing their hair all kinds of weird colors and dressing weird and odd. They just would stick out. I think that sometimes they want to, you know, they might get mad because they're, you know, you look at them, but they want you to look at them or else they wouldn't necessarily dress that way. And I still every now and then see someone like, wow, that's, that's an amazing thing. But tonight I want you to say tonight that your Christianity ought to make you different. If you have on the armor of light, that ought to be a distinction in your life, that you're not like everybody else. By the way, the armor of light is for light in the darkness. You, as a believer, should light up a dark world. When you go to your job, you shouldn't just fit in. You shouldn't hide your light so that way darkness now meets darkness. But when you walk in that job site, there ought to be light in the darkness. Regardless of where you work. Too many folks want to fit in. We're ashamed that we're intimidated by the world, and they may somehow feel like somehow we're the extremists, that we're the oddballs. And no, they're the ones that are not right. So when you live your life as a Christian, we're to put on the armor of light. We're to be different. We're to be light in darkness. In this chapel ministry, regardless of what you think about it or not, we're going to our city and we're making our light bigger. Yeah, we have a light here. By the way, it's easy to be light in the side of the four walls. Let's be light where it matters and where it counts. It's easy to be a good Christian tonight in this place because everybody else around you wants you to be a good Christian. That's not better than they are, but they want you to be a good Christian. The world doesn't care about you being a good Christian. But I will tell you one thing, they are watching. And by and large, many folks know what a good Christian ought to look like. It's not in drunkenness or in wantonness or in envy and strife. They know that. So the armor of light is for our benefit, but it's also for the benefit of those around us. And tonight I want to remind you that it's now the day to be sanctified, to be pulled out from the world. Quit trying to go back. Somebody's alarm's going off. Does that mean I'm done? No. I got two more points, but for the sake of time, because the alarm reminded me. Must be the Holy Spirit of God saying you said it all before or something. It's the devil? Okay. I want to look at two things, but I'm not going to tonight. But I want to remind you tonight. I want to remind you of something this evening. The Passover was an important part of the Jewish culture. And it was to remind them that God brought them of the misery of Egypt. Right? They began to pray. They began to pray to God because they were miserable in Egypt. I mean, according to Exodus 1:14, their bodies was full of rigor. But, and so the Passover was designed to help them remember where they came from, where they were going. But as you read about Israel, sometimes they, along the way, they forgot where they came from. They forgot the rigor, and they remember the wrong things. In fact, I'm reminded that in the book of Numbers, when they got a little discouraged along the way, their memory, they forgot the rigor of bondage, and they begin to remember the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. And said, listen, we were tired of the things of God. We want to go back to the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They crave those things. They forgot the bondage and the rigor and the bitterness and the sorrow. And they, all they remember now is back in Egypt, there was some joy for a season. And tonight we're going to remember, what's the Lord's Supper for? To remind us. To remind us of what Christ did for us, of what He's doing for us right now, of what He will do for us one day, but also to remind us where we came from and where we're going. Listen, tonight, if all you're concerned about is today and your convenience and your comfort, you're going to forget the rigor of sin, the bondage of sin. And all I can remember back is what we call the good old days. I'm telling you, before salvation, they weren't the good old days. They weren't the good old days. And all of a sudden, we forget that, you know, it's amazing. I watch people that have come out of drinking and drugs, all that nonsense and that bitterness and that sorrow and that struggle. And they get along in the Christian life and they're not careful. They forget the sorrow of that nonsense. And they go back and mess with it again. There's no glorious end in those things. So the Lord ordained a feast to remind Israel of the rigor of Egypt and the blessing of the promised land. And tonight we have the Lord's Supper. We take the Lord's Supper tonight to remind us of the rigor in the hardship of sin in the flesh, to remind us the glory of the promised land, of that victorious Christian life. So tonight I want to just finish with this thought. The Lamb had an appointed time when He must be sacrificed and consumed. Christ had an appointed time for Calvary. We live in an appointed time for day of salvation, but God also has appointed us today, appointed time for sanctification. He wants to set you apart for His glory and His honor. Tonight, how is it with you in your life? How are you doing tonight? Are you wearing that armor of light proudly, boldly, consistently? Tonight is a high time to walk with God. There's no greater time in your life than right now to walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight, you young couples and young people tonight, don't in your mind say, you know what? When I get to be pastor's age, I like to be a little older, maybe then I'll get serious. Say something, you're going to miss what God has for you tonight. If you're always thinking, well, next week, tomorrow, next year, when I'm a little older, then I'll get serious with God. No, today's the time. Today's the appointed time for that. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Father, thank you, Father, for the alarm. Pray that you would bless tonight, Father, as we take your word, Father, and apply it to our life. God, tonight I'm glad I can look in the Old Testament, Father, and there that Passover lamb and that feast and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs remind us that Jesus Christ has for us a better testament, a day of salvation. And Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, if there be any here in this place that's not saved this evening, tonight they would come to know Christ as their Savior. They would turn from their sin and their false profession, Father, and put their heart and trust in you, Lord. And by faith receive you, Father. Lord, I pray you help us today. Realize that today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of sanctification, Father, that we would walk with you, Father, and allow you to make us and mold us, Father, that we might be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Father. God, tonight we need you in this place. We need you in our families. We need you in the life of our young people tonight. Well, tonight help us, I ask in your name and pray. Amen.